Time to talk a little Aggie football is Blake Anderson, kind enough to join us, head coach at Utah State. Coach, how you doing?
Hey, Coach.
I'm doing good, guys. How are y'all?
Coach, I promise I'll never miss another game. I feel like I take some responsibility for this.
Yeah. It just wasn't the same without you. It just wasn't the same without you. Just the mojo wasn't the same. So I appreciate you stepping up to the plate on that one.
Well, I'm hoping that in team meetings you can address the team and you can send Scotty's apologies to the entire team. That's what I'm hoping.
I'll get that done today. I'll make sure that's how I start the day off today.
Looking back on film and looking at that game and having a chance to go back over the last couple of days, did it really start up front on both sides for this team?
Yeah, it did. It did. I mean, I was concerned about it going in. I know you and I talked a good bit about it, just physically, the makeup of what we were going to see, and just kind of the way we're built right now. We got a lot of work to do in terms of strength and development. That doesn't happen overnight. We've been able to kind of mask it and play around it with our quickness and speed, and it just didn't show up on the field as much as we needed it to the other night. And we didn't help ourselves. I mean, a non-offensive touchdown on kickoff return, a 98-yard explosive run off the goal line, and then two turnovers. I mean, you're putting yourself a little bit behind the eight ball to begin with those kind of mistakes. But just physically, we didn't put ourselves in the best shape in terms of how we personneled it, tried to get away with some speed and quickness that we've used in recent games. And it just didn't match up well. And you got to give them credit, but they played pretty much a flawless game.
Coach, it's been pretty tough. You know, watching throughout the year, Logan Bonner takes so many hits, and there are so many times where I'm watching film or I'm watching the game live, and I'm thinking to myself, is he okay? Is he healthy? Is he all right? And I know it's been a long season for Logan, but how is his health at this point, Coach? Is he holding up? Is his body holding up?
I mean, he's sore. There's no doubt about that. He got hit more than we want him to. Only one sack, but clearly a lot of collisions.
Right.
In the pocket, they did a good job of getting there, and putting hits on him. And he continued to get up. He'll practice today. He's a little sore, as a lot of guys are this late in the season. But we've got to reduce the hits on him. That's just not something that we can survive in this offense, letting our quarterback get hit like he did. And again, Wyoming did a phenomenal job of attacking us. They kind of changed some things and really attacked us in some areas that were a problem for us. And then we gotta do a great job too of trying to protect him in some other ways. So I think there's we learned some good lessons, some valuable lessons, and luckily he is moving around. He'll be throwing the ball today, and he'll be ready to play on Friday, but he will be one of those guys that will appreciate the offseason, I can promise you.
Is he just the kind? Is that just part of his makeup? Because, you know, I've only watched him this year. You've known him for, you know, a good chunk of his life so far. Is that just part of his DNA to be one tough son of a gun? Because, man, every week he gets beat up and he comes right back.
Yeah, he is. He's just one tough dude. He is. He's super competitive. You know, maybe as competitive as anybody on the field. He doesn't want to miss a snap. He wants to get back up off the turf. Does when he can. But, you know, there's responsibility on our part. We got to protect him a little bit better. We got to move it a little bit, change the launch point. It's going to be big again this week because Rocky Long and what he does defensively. I mean, he's all about getting hits on the quarterback, so we're going to have to do a better job this week.
And that's kind of the thought now, Coach, is moving forward. You're on the road against New Mexico, and I'm sure that there's a lot of distraction, a lot of disappointment from Wyoming. How do you make sure that one loss and kind of a tough game doesn't lead to potentially two? What do you do with your guys?
Well, it's a challenge, there's no doubt. It's been the conversation yesterday, again today. Simply just say, man, look at where we're at, guys. I mean, considering where we came from to where we're at, we can't let one game derail us. I mean, we're still in the hunt. There's 20 teams in Division I football all still trying to fight for spots in conference championship games, and we're lucky to be right there with them. And I think if anybody would have told our team at the beginning of the season, you'll be fighting for a spot in the championship game the last weekend, we'd all have taken it. You'd be fighting for win number 9 the last weekend, we'd all have taken it. We knew what kind of mountain we were trying to climb. So I think we gotta think about, be grateful for where we're at and what we've accomplished so far, but not be satisfied. So we can't let this one continue to follow us. We've got to learn from it and move on. Talk to the staff about that, talk to the players, and told him, don't come in the building today thinking about the past. Come in the building today with a bounce in your step, excited about what we can still accomplish. And I expect our guys will do that. They've been resilient and bounced back all year long from any adversity that they face, and I expect this to be no different.
After a physical, tough loss like that, is the loss of an extra day, and plus a travel day too in the middle of that, is that a problem?
I don't know. We've done okay. If you look, I mean, we've actually been ready to play on Fridays, and at this point, it's more mental, just being able to match up to what we're going to see from their defense and their offense, than it is so much the extra day of physical work. They obviously could probably benefit from another day of rest, but we got to go play. I mean, Friday at 11 o'clock, it's going to kick off whether we feel like it or not, so we best get ready.
How do you handle Thanksgiving, Coach?
Well, we're going to have a little Thanksgiving dinner at the hotel on Thursday night, and we'll enjoy everybody's company and have a good time. Our Thursday or Friday night meals the day before a game is really relaxed, very, very family-oriented, and let guys – kind of hang out and sit with who they want to and that sort of thing. But it definitely, to me, Thanksgiving football go hand in hand. I'm just used to it all being one week of ball and turkey at the same time. I guess to people outside the football world, maybe that seems strange, but I just don't remember having one without the other for a very long time.
Blake Anderson, head coach of Utah State, joining us. New Mexico, obviously not having the year win-loss record, but they dealt with a ton of injuries and then kind of reworked who they are. Is it? I mean, they're just triple option at this point, right?
Yeah, straight triple option, and it's been good for them. They beat Wyoming a few weeks ago running it, and they've gotten a little better at it each week. Now, you know, they haven't won the last few games, but they've slowed the game down, I think, and shortened it, stayed competitive, made it tough for people to score, and frustrated people with the style of play. You know, they've got a ton of injuries. I think that's their biggest issue. If they were healthy, they'd be even more dangerous. But they've been unfortunate. And what I know about Danny Gonzalez and Rocky Long is it won't matter. They will be ready to play. They will get after the quarterback. And triple option gives everybody problems, as you know.
Yeah.
It really comes down to, can we be assignment sound and make sure we're right where we're supposed to be. I tell you, we're going to have to go earn this sucker. There's nothing easy about going on the road on a short week to play against that defense and that style of offense now that they've settled in on it. And we're gonna have to strap it up and go play good ball.
Coach, it feels like a lot is riding on this game too. Do you feel the pressures of what's riding on this game?
Well, I think this group has kind of felt pressure all along as we started winning games and expectations started to rise. And we got ourselves in a position where we were either in a tie or all alone at the top of the division. I think they felt this for quite a while. I mean, it's playoff. It's win or go home. I mean, if we don't win, it doesn't matter if anybody helps us. So, yeah, I think we have to be able to handle that, be mature enough to set that aside and just go play the way we're supposed to play, because it's the next opportunity to do so, and let all the other stuff, let it sort itself out. And I'm hoping our guys will be able to do that.
So for those that, you've mentioned Rocky a couple of times, you have a relationship with him. If those haven't heard, you spent time working with him.
Well, I was he hired me for my first Division I coaching job. I'd been the offensive coordinator at Trinity Valley Community College in Texas, we won a national title there, and I'd recruited a bunch of players, and Rocky gave me a chance. I came out and coached running backs and then wideouts for him at New Mexico. Danny Gonzalez, who is the GA, who is the head coach there, was a GA for us on defense at the same time. So I know those guys really, really well. Rock's, I tell people, Rock's kind of like my coaching dad. I guess my father wasn't a coach. I learned a lot from Rocky. He gave me my first really big break, and he means the world to me. And I think he's one of the best defensive-minded coaches on the planet. So I have a tremendous amount of respect and expect nothing but the very best from him and Danny Gonzalez this Friday.
With that in mind, Wyoming obviously did some things on the outside to help guard against Devin Tompkins, limiting him to his second fewest yards in the season at 67. What did they do differently, and is that something you feel like New Mexico could attempt to do?
Well, everybody's kind of attempted to do it on a weekly basis in different ways. I think the combination of them rolling coverage to him, which we expected, and just the pressure they were able to create, were problems for us. We actually ran the ball okay at times and did not have a ton of lost yardage plays. But as we mentioned, the quarterback got hit and hurried a lot. And then we really didn't win in the 50-50 balls at the other positions quite like we've been doing. You look back to the games at, you know, Colorado State and San Jose State. I mean, we had not only Devin, but all the other spots had big one-on-one completions and big explosive completions. And we just didn't get those this week. They defended it better than we played it. Some of that had to do with protection. We had to hurry at times when we had guys open. Some of it had to do with good coverage play by Wyoming. We knew they were really good in coverage. They were top five in the country coming in, and that stayed true to form. So there were a lot of factors involved, and it just we did not execute really, really well, never completely got in a rhythm in any three of the three phases, and just got our butts handed to us and learned some very valuable lessons of what it's going to take to win on a weekly basis in this league. And that's another big physical football team that just kind of punched us, and we didn't really have a great answer for it.
I know you got a lot on your plate, and you can't be worried about individual honors and things like that, but DT not being a finalist for the Biletnikoff Award as the nation's leader in rushing yards or receiving yards, I thought was a little bit of a travesty. And I know you got a lot, and he's got a lot to worry about too, but I wasn't thrilled with that today.
No, I wasn't either. And obviously the people that are finalists are having great years, but it's just hard to believe that he could lead the country like he has and play the way he has all season long and not be one of the three. We've seen this before. It's not our first rodeo in that sense. I think he'd tell you he'd trade it for a conference title. So I'm just hoping that we can handle business and get some help from San Diego State. Continue this journey because what they've already done has been amazing, but they're not done. They're not satisfied, and we want to continue this thing.
Coach, have you started to look at numbers and seniors and just returning guys? Is it difficult to do that now with the COVID juniors and COVID seniors and redshirt seniors and all the things that you've got? Is it hard to look at numbers? Does that affect your ability to recruit to a certain extent?
Well, we definitely try to get a lay of the land well back in the before the process starts for this class. So we tentatively do that. Now some things change. We'll unfortunately have some guys that probably leave the program to get more playing time or guys that are disgruntled. We'll have some guys that physically decide not to play anymore. I mean, you know how that goes on a yearly basis. Some guys just bodies can't hold up. Those are things that you really can't prepare for. The 16 super seniors that you know are done, you prepare for those, and then you got to be ready to adapt to the rest. And so we've got a recruiting class that's already forming based off of the guys that we know for sure are leaving. And we know some areas that we've seen over the course of the year that we need to address just because of maybe development hasn't quite reached where it needs to, or some veterans are going to leave, and we're not sure that the gap has been filled yet. So we'll look to some veteran players, some JC transfer players possibly to fill in those gaps. But you do have to be flexible because things do change when the season is over.
Do you get a feel of guys that are disgruntled? Do you get a feel of guys that you think might be entering the portal? And if you do, do you try to take measures to stop it?
You know, I haven't. I haven't this particular season. I think things have gone so well and the attitudes have been phenomenal. I would tell you, I can't point to anybody that I think is going to walk in and say, Coach, I'm leaving. Now, I do think you look at any room, as the depth starts to build and maybe a guy doesn't rise up, he's like, Coach, I need to transfer down and play 1AA or Division II ball where I can get on the field. I mean, those are some conversations we're going to have. But if we really see that a kid's value is only getting started and he just needs to be patient and wait for his opportunity, or maybe just work to increase his opportunities, man, we're going to do everything we can to keep him here. But if we really believe that it's in a kid's best interest to get him on the field the way he wants to play, to transfer down, then we'll make phone calls to try to help him do that. We want guys to be happy. You know, I didn't finish my career at Baylor. They changed offenses, went to the triple option. I've been through an injury. It was the best thing that happened to me was to transfer to Sam Houston State. And Coach Taft and Coach Cotton Davis and both made phone calls on my behalf to get that done. And it turned out to be perfect for me. I think there's times guys need to stay and be patient. I watched Mitch Trubisky do that at Carolina, wait his turn, and then end up going super high in the draft. I've seen guys that needed to leave and get on the field, and it worked out for them too. So every situation, I think you have to take it individually and look at the pros and cons of their future and what needs to happen. And we try to be very, very honest and helpful, if at all possible, in those situations.
When you jump in and you're recruiting the transfer portal coach, do you reach out to guys you have had no previous relationship or recruiting experience with, or do you only reach out to guys that you've had previous recruiting or relationship with?
Well, both. We look at that anybody's on the market, and then we try to do as much research as we can. Maybe we know a coach that's there. Maybe we've had contact with him in recruiting. Maybe a teammate. So you turn over every possible resource that you can to get an idea of what this person is like. You can see physically on tape what they can do, but then who is he? Does his character and his attitude fit our culture and what we believe in here? Is he going to be comfortable and happy here? And then you fight through the process of recruiting him. And so there's a lot that goes into it. Sometimes we get fortunate enough to already have relationships built with guys. We've got some of those here now. But there's a few guys that we didn't really know. We got to know during the process, and we made good decisions on bringing guys here that have been very, very helpful and have all contributed in some way, shape, or form.
Coach, appreciate the time as always. Look forward to catching up with you again later tonight.
Sounds good. See you then.
You got it. Blake Anderson, head coach at Utah State.